It's time!
Listening to Pound for Pound, ringside for all things MMA and boxing on WFUV Sports. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Pound for Pound, your one-stop shop for all things combat sports here at WFUV Sports. I am Andrew Canary, your host, and I am alongside Mahdi Dembele and Riley Lucas. It's a little bit of a tired week this week. I think just the tired vibes are going around.
Yes, they are.
Definitely. We were just talking about how I guess we all collectively want a cheese Danish after this, maybe, possibly. I don't know. We'll see.
That should tell you guys the state of mind we're in right now. It's very distracted.
Yeah, no, definitely 100%. But tabling the cheese Danish discussions, we do got some good fights to get into here. The UFC took a bit of a break last weekend, no fights, but now they're officially back in action in Brazil with a pretty interesting main event. It is UFC Fight Night, Almeida versus Lewis, and it features the main event of Gelton Almeida versus Derek Lewis in a five-round heavyweight bout. Originally, it was supposed to be Gelton Almeida versus Curtis Blaydes, but then he had to drop out due to injury. Derek Lewis comes in, especially in late notice, which is surprising considering the controversy that he recently had with the UFC where... or not even with the UFC, but just legal troubles in general, where he was arrested for driving 136 in a 50-mile-per-hour zone. But apparently that got all cleared up. He's cleared to fight. So, guys, I just want to ask you, how do you think this fight will go and who wins?
I'll let you take this.
Okay, I'll go ahead and start. Well, first of all, obviously, you never want to see that kind of situation pan out, obviously. I mean, you see in the NFL, Henry Ruggs, his life is pretty much over. So driving that fast in that restriction, you never want to see it. But it got cleared up. We're here for Fight Night. And Gelton Almeida versus Derek Lewis. I got to tell you, I'm a big Derek Lewis guy. I know prior to the fight that he just had where he threw like two flying knees against Rogério de Lima, which ended in 33 seconds. He was on a three-fight lose streak, right? Sergey Spivak, Sergey Pavlovich, and Tai Tuivasa, guys who I would consider more, I guess, polished than Derek Lewis. I think Derek Lewis is either, if he's going to knock you out. If he don't, then you're probably going to get him. Gelton Almeida is as great as a fighter as he is. I don't think he's lost in the UFC. Yeah, he hasn't lost in the UFC as of right now, obviously, I think. And he's had some great fights in his career. I think he's the victor here. I think it's his fight to lose. If Derek Lewis is able to catch him, he's able to catch him. But I don't see this fight going any other way but for Almeida.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, at least I share a similar sentiment to you, Mahdi. It was funny hearing Derek Lewis like talk about this stylistic matchup in the lead-up in the pre-fight press conference. He was saying... how Gelton Almeida obviously is a Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt and how that is very intimidating. But also, he self-proclaims, says that he is the baddest purple belt in Texas, which is very, very funny. And then off the back of that, he went out and he was like, yeah, I think I'd get a leg lock first round, which is, I think, 100% a joke. Completely a joke. There's no chance that he's serious about that. Who knows? That would be like the biggest upset in the world. But I agree with you, Mahdi. I think he either gets a first-round finish here or it is going to be the Almeida night all night. I could definitely see a finish, maybe second-round, third-round, possibly submission. But, well, Riley, what do you think?
I'm going to agree, which is something that I don't normally do. Not to mention a lot of jiu-jitsu with Almeida, which is fine. I have to be smart here and go with stats, and it's just clear as day that he's going to win to me. I also can agree with you, Andrew, maybe a first-round submission. But either way, it's going to be the Almeida show. And the fact that we're even talking about Derek Lewis fighting after this whole incident like just happened is crazy. It's crazy. I don't mind Derek Lewis, even though my boy Sergey Pavlovich beat him up not too long ago. What was that, July?
Yeah, a little while ago.
So I know he won his last fight, but prior to that, he was also coming off a three-fight losing streak. And he's just no match for Almeida. It's just a matter of...
Yeah, especially when you look at his past opponents that he lost to. I mean, Pavlovich, obviously, very, very scary guy, one of the top heavyweights in the world right now. But also, I mean, if you want to look at his other opponents, I mean, Tai Tuivasa is not the scariest guy in the world. Yeah. And I will say, I mean, that was a big win for him, and it was kind of a dogfight between the two. But that's kind of Derek Lewis's bread and butter. So to kind of see him get knocked down that way, and then also get submitted. Yeah,
that.
Exactly. Cyril Gane as well. So yeah, just I think he's been on a bit of a slide, and I think the flying knee knockout kind of stopped those talks a little bit. But I think it's very much so still that theme that we're going to see at least in this fight.
Yeah, yeah, and Almeida's -525. Like, that's
huge
a crazy
favorite.
Line.
Yeah. Huge favorite.
Oh, wait. Well, I mean, if he's -525, what's Derek Lewis? Is he like plus
375.
I might want to put some money on that. I'm not too sure. I don't know. Because listen, I mean, I was kind of
viewing. A win is a win.
The thing is, though, the one caveat, at least for me in this fight, is that I kind of view this very similar to how I viewed the Rogério de Lima fight, where I was like, if Rogério de Lima lasts out the first round,
he's good.
Gets a takedown, I can definitely see him winning this fight. And then obviously that didn't happen. So I'm really, like, I feel like as a MMA maybe intellectual, I want to go for Almeida here. Okay. But Derek Lewis, I mean, he just does not care. I mean, he'll just go out, knock you out, seemingly at random with some weird strikes, flying knees, jumping sidekicks. So, yeah, I think there is some wiggle room for some upsets.
I understand that thinking, right? He's a showstopper in that sense, right? He's a guy that, even though he's on the backside of it, you still get those performances once in a while. I don't know if it's going to be against this guy. Because the thing about guys with Derek Lewis' style is his stand-up. You have to be perfect for 1 second. But it turns out in the fight game, getting that 1 second is actually harder than it seems to be, right? But if he's not able to land it, then it's lights out from here. If Yalton Almeida is able to outlast him throughout the first round, then it's going to be over for Derek Lewis. I'm sorry to say I'm a huge Derek Lewis guy. I think we're all huge Derek Lewis guys. Everyone's a huge Derek Lewis guy. But, yeah, if the first round ends with both guys standing, Almeida's the winner here.
Yeah, no, definitely. And before we move on from this UFC fight night, I do want to ask our producer for this week, Zach Cordova, what is his pick? If you just want to IFB me, I'll relay it to the listeners.
Drum roll.
All right, so Zach just said Almeida, obviously, but Derek Lewis did have abs last time he fought, so I'm not counting them out. Those Derek Lewis abs, actually a big intangible that I'm glad that you highlighted there. So yeah, Zach just said after all those years in MMA, he finally started trying, which is that's very reminiscent of the meme of Derek Lewis's, like, just doesn't pay attention to jiu-jitsu, is like, just get up, bro, you know?
Just get up,
and you
bro.
Just see these clips of him in side control, bottom side control, just standing up. It's
just
crazy.
Standing up.
But anyway, maybe he'll do some of that, and maybe we'll get a big upset this weekend. Who knows? We'll just have to wait and see. Should be a fun fight. But moving on, though, I just want to say, guys, just huge shout out to Chris Carino and Andy Rodriguez, because I completely dunked on him last week by saying Ngannou actually had a chance in
that
this
was
fight.
Such a crazy, yeah.
Oh,
yeah. That was
completely
a crazy interview.
Dunked on them. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, listen, normally I have like a pretty cordial opening for, you know, recapping fights, everything like that.
Talk
but
your
no.
Ish.
Yeah, I'm talking all the smack right now. But obviously, what we're talking about is Ngannou versus Fury. Yeah. Tyson Fury narrowly defeats Francis Ngannou via split decision, 95-94 and 96-93 for Fury, and then 95-94 for Ngannou. Those were the judges' scorecards. It was a very, very, very close fight. And the reason I opened up with that was last week, for our listeners out there, Chris Carino, Andy Rodriguez said that Tyson Fury was going to win this fight hands down. Ngannou did not have a single chance. They framed it more so as if Ngannou doesn't even have a chance in this fight in the first place.
No.
And I said, guys, I think he does. I think that Tyson Fury might be sleeping on him a little bit. Ngannou has that one-punch knockout power, and he's great at setting up shots, and he really does take boxing seriously, and that was his main goal before MMA. Mm-hmm. So all those factors combined to me thinking that he was going to put on a good performance, and he did. He looked amazing. So even though he lost this fight, it was still so impressive, switching from orthodox to southpaw, throwing a Superman punch at one point in time, which was crazy. But he just looked like a professional boxer through and through, which is a transition from MMA to boxing that we haven't really seen yet. I mean, if you want to go back to Conor McGregor, he looked okay against Floyd Mayweather, but eventually gassed and, you know, just kind of fell in his old MMA habits. But Ngannou looked like a boxer through and through. And also the biggest moment of the fight, that knockdown, I believe it was in the third or fourth round. It kind of just told me everything that I needed to see from that fight. I was so impressed with him. So, guys, what I just want to ask you initially is, what was your take from this fight? Were you impressed with Ngannou's performance? And do you think Fury actually was that his full capability?
I think what you illustrated was perfect. Stole the thunder right out of my mouth. I think what people have to go back and cross-examine this with is the Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather fight, right? People thought that Conor McGregor was going to get obliterated because Floyd Mayweather, in my opinion and in most other opinions, is the greatest pure boxer maybe ever. And I remember figures of, like, the national media saying he wouldn't even land a single punch on Floyd. You're right, he didn't. He landed 111 punches on Floyd Mayweather. People forget that, even though that it's a completely different sport, because I do want to make that delineation clear. Boxing, MMA, not the same thing. They're still fighters at the end of the day, right? They still incorporate that even in their mixed martial arts repertoire. Again, he just looked like a boxer, Francis Ngannou. He looked really, really good. Again, he had the southpaw stance, I believe it was. I mean, he's moving. He's fighting on the front foot, back foot. He's moving. He's sliding. He's throwing his jab. And he's able to land the big shot on the guy who, in the past, has been had against guys like Deontay Wilder. I'm not too sure if Francis Ngannou, this is a conversation me, you, Andrew, had. I don't know if Francis Ngannou hits harder than Deontay Wilder. I think the answer to that is no. But he landed a clean one to the temple of Tyson Fury and dropped him in a fight that I think he won. And I think he put himself in notice. I think he's placed himself almost like Conor McGregor, where the fight world, not just MMA or boxing, but both revolve around him. And he's the main guy. He's the money fight now. I think Francis Ngannou did his job, whether he got the win or he didn't.
Yeah, no, definitely. Riley, what do you think from this
fight? I mean, I'm not going to lie. I still believe that Tyson Fury did win. I know that's controversial because there's a lot of people thinking differently. But to what you both said, I was very impressed with Francis Ngannou because the fact that this is the champ. I mean, Fury is that guy, arguably one of the best boxers of all time. And then you have Ngannou, who hasn't had a professional boxing match, just stepping in the ring and being able to bring it that close to the point that it's up for debate of who won is just incredible. And then I think that speaks a lot for the debate between these two different sports, because there is a lot of back and forth, like, can these guys hang with these guys, or can these guys hang with these guys? And this showed us a lot. And I think, despite that, I don't really agree with Joe Rogan's reaction saying the one judge should go to jail, like, this is crazy, yada, yada, yada. He also, I don't know if you saw his reaction, but he made a lot of good points. Like, this speaks a lot for the MMA world.
Oh, 100%. I mean, I feel like boxing loves to look down on MMA and be like,
which they shouldn't.
Yeah,
they
and just no think rights of like them as kind of like a lesser combat
which is
sport.
Crazy. If anything, I feel like
it's
maybe
the opposite.
It should be the other way.
Coming
yeah
from a boxing exactly guy, boxing is garbage nowadays. Mm-hmm. That's a different.
And you need a lot more to be a successful MMA player. MMA fighter.
Yeah, and like if you really want to go back to like the old days too, I remember like that famous clip of Joe Rogan on, I don't know if it was on ESPN or something,
where
of him
arguing with
that
his name
boxing promoter or boxing journalist, and they were going at it
about
and he
which
was
sport
just,
is dead and
exactly. So it's definitely reminiscent of that, and I was so happy to see this performance from Ngannou because, like you guys were saying, it was so impressive, and like Joe Rogan said, it does show a lot for the MMA world for a guy that, you know, went out there and was kind of viewed as like a bum rushy fighter in MMA to go out and fight in a full 10-round fight and bring it to one of the best fighters on the planet.
Despite the fact that I still believe Tyson Fury narrowly won, it's still, from just a viewer's perspective, it just showed a lot of good attributes of Francis Ngannou, and it was a lot of disappointment from Tyson Fury. Like, even though he won, he should have won by a lot more, or he should have performed way better. And watching him in that ring with Francis Ngannou, it was embarrassing. It was just hard to watch.
No, I mean, it definitely was embarrassing. And I will say, like, even though Ngannou didn't win the fight, and after thinking about it for a couple days, I believe that he didn't win the fight by a very, very narrow margin. It could have gone either way. Honestly, I could have seen a draw, especially with a knockdown in the third round.
Mm-hmm. Definitely not 96-93.
Yeah,
one
that's
judge. That was crazy.
Insanity. Crazy. But anyway, I think that even though he didn't win the fight on the cards, I think he won the night. 100%. Mm-hmm. Fury walked out of that fight kind of looking like a loser. I'm not going to lie. You know, like, he just lost that fight. And especially if you want to look at the photos of both fighters the day after with Tyson Fury having that big black eye, and then Ngannou looking like he's ready to go, like, I don't know, walk on like Paris Fashion Week or something like that.
Yeah, of course.
It's crazy.
I know. I saw all the memes and it made me laugh because I actually didn't watch the fight in real time. I went back and watched the next day, but I saw all the memes about Tyson Fury's face versus Francis Ngannou. So I just, before I really dove in and looked it up and watched the fight and the outcome, I originally thought Tyson Fury lost.
One of the greatest heavyweight boxers of our time, Kenny Norton, Joe Frazier, Sonny Liston, Muhammad Ali. I think Fury could be like that. One of the greatest switch hitters. He lost to MMA guy, which actually goes to say
that hurts his legacy so bad.
Lou DiBella
really
is the guy that we were talking about. Joe Rogan versus Lou DiBella. Which sport is that? For boxing to look down at the nose of MMA, I mean, the baddest man on the planet has to be an MMA guy because the repertoire is so much variety and it's so much open. It's than just boxing. It's MMA. It's jujitsu. So many other disciplines. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, like, MMA is looking up for in that. It's looking up for sure.
And to bring it back to what you said earlier, Mahdi, of how Ngannou, or how the combat sports world, both MMA and boxing, is just revolving around Ngannou at this point.
Yeah.
I just want to go back to his last MMA fight in the UFC where he became the UFC champion and essentially out-wrestled Miocic to win that fight, which if you want to go back to their first fight, Ngannou had a huge problem with the wrestling, so to come back and go through this whole transformation, become a great wrestler, win the UFC belt, leave the UFC, and then become a great boxer of that, it just shows that he literally can do anything. So I'm so, so happy with the result of this fight. It's kind of weird to say, even though he lost the fight. But
he was winning regardless.
Exactly.
Yeah, and because despite Tyson Fury getting the win, what this did to his legacy, I think, is way bigger than we think right now. Because people are going to look to that and be like, wow, he was arguably one of the best heavyweight boxers. But now after this, can't even hold his own versus an MMA guy. That's crazy. Who's never had a professional boxing match, let alone on this platform. It's just shows, and it speaks a lot for Tyson Fury, a lot of disappointment.
Yeah, I think what Fury needs to do to save face or save his legacy is what he did with Deontay Wilder. It was a very close fight when he fought him the first time. I believe it ended in a draw, and then they had the second fight in the trilogy, and then Fury showed his dominance. He showed that he adjusted and that he is one of the greatest heavyweights of all time. So I think if he really like cares about this fight and cares about his legacy overall, he needs to fight Ngannou again, because I think there's a lot of unanswered questions, at least in terms of what the fans think that Fury can do at this point.
Yeah, he's to be taken serious now. It's not just an MMA guy in the boxing ring. Francis Ngannou is a fighter who could really do everything. If you want to silence those haters, you got to get in the ring for a second time, Tyson Fury. Tough. Them to break.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I mean, this does kind of put a hitch in his plans where he had a fight scheduled a couple months from now against Usyk, which I saw like Usyk sweating bullets in that crowd watching that fight, which is hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we'll see what happens, if that fight will actually happen. But I definitely do want to see a rematch between these two, because it was a really, really fun fight just to watch. It was an entertaining fight. And way more entertaining than any of the Logan Paul, Dylan Danis, KSI, Tommy Fury stuff
that
you want to bring back.
Please, I can't hear the name again.
Tyson, I'm sorry.
Tommy Fury, I wouldn't put his name there. I wouldn't put Tommy Fury's. Yeah. I give him a bit more credit.
Yeah, and in between, maybe.
In between.
Yeah, yeah.
The rest, no.
Last thing I want to highlight from this fight is a little bit of a funny moment, and something that people have been talking about is that I want to bring it back to boxing, kind of looking down at MMA and everything like that, and just being like, oh, it's a lesser combat sport. It's not as technical, blah, 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 blah. Despite that, there's a pretty famous clip from the Ngannou-Tyson Fury fight of Fury throwing a pretty blatant elbow at Ngannou. So, I mean, talk as much ya-ya as you want about MMA, but at the end of the day, it looks like Fury maybe took a couple techniques from it. So I don't know. But yeah, that will pretty much wrap up this episode of Pound for Pound. Make sure to watch Shelton Almeida versus Derek Lewis this weekend, and our recap episode next week breaking down all the results. We will also be previewing UFC 295, which should be very, very exciting. Woo! Before I go, I want to give a massive thanks to my fantastic co-hosts, Mahdi Dembele and Riley Lucas, as well as our producer, Zach Cordova. Woo-hoo. I've been Andrew Canary, and Pound for Pound is a production of WFUV Sports.
Woo!